All right. Take your Bibles, please. Open them to the book of Isaiah, chapter 11. Isaiah, chapter 11, in your Old Testament, please. Isaiah, chapter 11. We have been looking over the last 6 weeks at the subject of, will there ever be peace in the Middle East? And this I started way back just after Christmas when Israel and Palestine were going at it. And we have been over the last several weeks now looking at this subject of will there ever be peace in the Middle East. And I want to speak to you this morning where I left off 2 weeks ago. Of course, we had Dr. David Gibbs with us last weekend and had a great day and thank the Lord for last week. But I want to finish up today, Lord willing, and speak to you about the millennial reign of Christ. Now, just for your own foundation here so that you know what period of time I'm going to be speaking about. I want everybody to just, before we read the scripture, I want everybody just to come to school here for a minute. Let me teach you something. And for those of you that are regular church members here, this is rerun for you. But we got a lot of folks that that need to get caught up here, so I'll just take a minute to do this. All right, now everybody look right here. I'm going to say that this part of the stage where I'm standing right now is the next prophetic thing to happen on God's calendar. The next prophetic thing to happen on God's calendar is the rapture of the church. We are right now living in the church age. When the Lord Jesus ascended back to the Father, He gave instruction to the disciples to go into all the world and preach the gospel. And that's what we've been doing for the last 2,000 years. We have been preaching the gospel, building churches, leading folks to the Lord. That's what the church has been all about. All right, now, Pentecost was groundbreaking day. It's bricklaying time now. All right, we're building a church for the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, that will end when the rapture of the church takes place. And that's the next prophetic event to happen on God's calendar. There is nothing that prevents the rapture from happening. It could happen today. Now, you say, well, what's the rapture? Well, the rapture is where the Lord Jesus Christ gets up off the throne in heaven, steps out onto the clouds, the trumpet sounds, the dead in Christ are raised, and then those of us that know Christ as our personal Savior, those that have been saved from their sin through the blood of Jesus Christ, will be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, and we will go to meet the Lord in the air. All right, that's the next thing that's going to happen on God's calendar. And by the way, that could happen this morning. That could happen before I quit preaching this morning. All right, there's nothing that has to take place around the world for the rapture to occur. There's no government that has to be set up. There's no king that has to be in place. There's no ruler, nothing. I mean, it could happen this morning. All right, following the rapture will be 7 years of tribulation upon the earth. We have the rapture, and then so to help you remember God's plan for the future, God's outline for the future, we have an R word, rapture, over here. Then the 7 years of tribulation, ruin, is the ruin period. 7 years of tribulation upon the earth. Now, you say, well, I don't want to be involved in that. Then if you're saved, you won't be. You're taken out here. You spend that 7 years in heaven. But upon the earth, there is going to be ruin, destruction, judgment, the wrath of God poured out upon unbelief. And so rapture, ruin. Following the 7 years of tribulation will be the return of Christ to the earth. Literally, bodily, He will return to the earth. And He will there defeat the Antichrist, who will rise up during the ruin period. He will defeat the false prophet and cast them into the lake of fire. He will then take the devil and will bind him and throw him into the bottomless pit for 1,000 years. Okay? So you got rapture, ruin, return. That return is then followed by a 1,000-year millennial reign of Christ. All right, so look at it. Rapture, ruin, return, reign. Reign, the 1,000-year millennial reign of Christ. And the subject that I want to preach to you about this morning is this millennial reign of Christ. You and I who know Christ as Savior, those of us that were raptured over here, those of us that are believers in the day of grace, during the day of the Lord will rule and reign with Him. We will rule and reign with Him for that 1,000 years upon the earth. Okay, everybody nod your heads like this. You understand what I'm saying? Okay, so you got the reign, and then at the end of the reign, the devil is turned loose for a little while. We learned this 2 weeks ago. At the end of the millennium, the devil is turned loose for a little while, and for a season, the Bible says. Now, what's a season? Well, winter, spring, summer, fall, those are seasons. Okay, what are they? About 3 months each. And thank God that winter is winding down. Amen. I think we can all agree with that. We're happy for that. All right, so about for a couple of months, the devil will go out and he will, even in ideal conditions upon the earth, even in ideal conditions. Remember now, the devil was bound. The Antichrist was cast in the lake of fire. The false prophet was cast in the lake of fire. Devil's out of the way. And for 1,000 years, there will be peace upon the earth. The Lord Jesus will rule and we will rule and reign with Him. There'll be no death. I'm going to show you that in a minute. During the millennium, people will not die, except for those that are judged of God. But they will not die of natural causes. Things are going to be changed. The world's going to be changed. Everything is going to be made in a wonderful way. But yet, at the end of the 1,000 years, when the devil is turned loose, all these sinners that are just like all of us, sinners, they will follow the devil. They will listen to his lie. And he will deceive a multitude of people who will come against God. All right? And that will precipitate them, the great white throne judgment, and God bringing final judgment upon the devil, where he will be cast into the lake of fire forever and ever, and death and hell cast into the lake of fire forever and ever. There'll be no more sin. God will wipe away all tears from our eyes, and you've got the fifth R in the outline, which is restoration. That's the new heaven, the new earth, and we will live in eternity without sin, without the curse, without the devil, without death, all of it wiped away. All right, so let's review. What's the number one? What's the first R? Rapture, all right? And that's when we go to be with Christ. Then you have the tribulation, which is what? Ruin. Then you have the what? Return of Christ. Then you have the millennial reign of Christ. And then the restoration, new heaven and new earth. Now, I'm going to teach you this morning what the Bible says about this millennial reign period. What's it going to be like? Now, here's the amazing thing. You can take the book of the Revelation, the New Testament book of the Revelation, and you can lay this 5R outline right across the pages of the book of the Revelation. For example, the rapture is found in Revelation 4. The ruin is found in Revelation 6 through 18. The return is found in Revelation 19. The reign is found in Revelation 20. And the new heaven, restoration, and new earth is found in Revelation 21 and 22. All right, everybody got that? So this is God's plan. This is God's calendar. This is God's schedule. We are sitting right here on the edge of the rapture, and we have a book that tells us what God is going to do. It's called a Bible, and I believe with every fiber of my being that this Bible is the Word of God and that we can trust it, and I think we therefore ought to know what God's plan is. All right? Now, let's look at it. Isaiah 11. Now, here's the interesting thing. when John in Revelation 20 was talking about the millennium, and that's where we were 2 weeks ago. When John was talking about the reign period, John did not give us a description of how life was going to be. He just simply hit the highlights of what was going to happen. He talked about the Antichrist being bound. He talked about the false prophet being bound. He talked about the devil being bound and cast into the bottomless pit. He talked about, at the end of it, the great white throne judgment where all the sinners were brought and stood before God. And the books were opened and another book was opened, which is the book of life. In other words, folks, the Bible was opened and men were judged out of those things that were written in the book. And if you did not receive Christ as your Savior, there will be no excuse. And at the great white throne, the God of heaven, the righteous, holy God of heaven will say, "Depart from me into everlasting punishment. I never knew you." Folks, what we need to do is what Peter said back over here. We need to make our calling and election sure. Because you don't want to stand before the eternal God of heaven as he sits upon that pure white throne, symbolizing his holiness and his justice, and stand there and say, "Well, God, you know, I wanted to get saved. I wanted to do right. I wanted to serve you, but..." Can I remind you, goats but, sheep follow. All right, some of y'all get that tomorrow, about noon. Yeah, goats but, sheep follow. And the sheep are the ones that that are the Lord's. He's the shepherd, and the goats are cast out. So that brings us now to our text. Look, please, if you will. John does not give us the characteristics of the millennium. So we go back to the Old Testament, where there are passages that tell us what it's going to be like during the millennium. This is the first one we're going to read. Look at verse 6. "During the millennium, the wolf also shall dwell with the lamb, and the leopard shall lie down with the kid." That's a goat, the kid of a goat. That's what they call a baby goat, a kid. "And the leopard shall lie down with the kid, and the calf and the young lion and the fatling together. And a little child shall lead them, and the cow and the bear shall feed. Their young ones shall lie down together, and the lion shall eat straw like an ox. And the suckling child," a baby, if you will, "shall play on the hole of an asp." What's an asp? A poisonous snake. "And the weaned child shall put his hand on the cockatrice den," another snake. Another, a cockatrice is an adder, all right, like a puff adder. "And they shall not hurt nor destroy in all my," what's the next two words? "Holy mountain." All right, now watch the holy mountain. Watch, folks. During the reign, the Lord Jesus is going to sit down upon the throne of David in the new temple and rule the world. That has always been called where the temple stood and where it will stand. That has always been referred to as the holy mountain. It was upon that holy mountain that Solomon's temple was built. It was on that holy mountain that Abraham offered Isaac as a sacrifice for sin when God stopped him just before he was to take Isaac's life. It was upon that holy mountain that the Lord Jesus was arrested and tried before Herod and before Pilate. It was upon that holy mountain that Jesus carried the cross through the streets of Jerusalem and went just outside the gate where they nailed him to that cross, and he suffered and died. And Jesus will rule and reign from that holy mountain, from Jerusalem. And and notice what it says. "They shall not hurt nor destroy in all my holy mountain. For the earth shall be full of the knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the sea." So when will there be peace? There will be peace when Jesus comes and establishes that peace. And brethren, everybody is going to know that it's Jesus who has brought that peace. All right, now, let's pray real quick. Father, speak to our hearts this morning. give us understanding of what we're about to hear. And Lord, just speak to our hearts through it, we pray. In Jesus' precious name we ask it. Amen. All right, now, look please if you will, and I want you to notice that during the millennium, the world as we know it will change. The world as we know it will change. You know, all any of us have ever known is a world that is under the curse of sin. That's all any of us have ever known. And we, as a result of that curse, we see a world where the animals fear us. They fear us. We see a world where many of the animals are carnivorous. In other words, they will kill and eat each other, and many of them will kill and eat us if given the opportunity. But I want you to notice from this passage of Scripture that God tells Isaiah, and Isaiah pens it for us, that during the millennium, the realm of nature is going to change. You see, God never intended for the animals to eat one another or to kill and eat us. That was never God's intent. All of that came as a result of sin upon the earth. If you'll remember, back when God created the earth and put Adam upon the earth, he said, Adam, to you I give dominion over the earth and everything that's in it. Adam had dominion, but he lost that dominion when he sinned against God, and the curse impacted every single aspect of this world. God made the world and filled it with light, filled it with goodness, filled it with glory and holiness and love and happiness. But once Adam sinned and God cursed the earth and cursed the devil and cursed man and cursed a woman and placed the earth underneath the curse of sin, all that was in the earth, everything changed. We lost it all in the garden when Adam sinned against God. But now watch this. What we lost in the first Adam, we get back in the second Adam. You understand that? That's what Paul dealt with over in Galatians and Romans. He was talking about what we lost in Adam, we get back in the second Adam, in Jesus. Jesus is going to change when he comes to rule and reign. He's going to change everything, and the curse is going to be gone. All right, so God never intended for it to be like it is, but sin is why it's like it is. And so the Prince of Peace will change it all back when he comes to reign during the millennium. Look at verse 6, and look at verse 7, and look at verse 8. You see, in our world today, the wolf usually sees the lamb as lamb chops. Right? Yeah, the wolf usually sees the lamb as lamb chops, but that's going to change when the Lord Jesus comes and rules during the millennium. The wolf is going to have a change of heart. The wolf and the lamb will dwell together in perfect harmony and peace. The lamb will not be afraid of the wolf, and the wolf won't view the lamb as dinner. The lion, the most fierce of all the animals, will no longer prowl for food and slaughter anything that it can catch. But the lion will have a change of nature, and the lion will eat grass like an ox. So, folks, the realm of nature will be at peace. But not only that, turn over to Isaiah 35 for just a moment. Let me read you another thing God said about the millennium. Look at Isaiah 35. Not only is there going to be a change in the realm of nature, but there's going to be a change in man's physical body. Man's physical body. Look, please, at verse 1. It says, "The wilderness and the solitary place shall be glad for them, and the desert shall rejoice and blossom as a rose." Hey, folks, during the millennium, God's going to change the earth. God's going to make the earth so that it's we don't have the desert anymore, so that we don't have the Arctic anymore. You say, how's he going to do that? God's God. He created it. That's how he's going to do it. All right? Read on. It says, "And it shall blossom abundantly." The desert shall blossom. and rejoice even with joy and singing. The glory of Lebanon shall be given unto it, the excellency of Carmel and Sharon. They shall see the glory of the Lord and the excellency of our God. Speaking of during the millennium, the world is going to know that God, that Jesus is the one making these changes and God is in control. It's Jesus who is doing all this. Look at verse 3. Strengthen ye the weak hands and confirm the feeble knees. Say to them that are of a fearful heart. And boy, that's us today, is it not? Be strong. Fear not. Behold, your God will come with vengeance, even God with a recompense. He will come and save you. Then the eyes of the blind shall be opened, and the ears of the deaf shall be unstopped. Then shall the lame man leap as a hart, and the tongue of the dumb sing. For in the wilderness shall waters break out, and streams in the desert. Folks, listen, not only is the realm of nature going to change, but the realm of man's physical bodies will change. All right? Now follow me carefully now. You got to get this. We're talking about the reign period. We're talking about when Jesus rules and reigns for 1,000 years. That's what is being described here. Now, let's go back to the beginning of this reign period. It starts when Jesus returns. All right, now, follow me carefully. What I just described for you, the change in man's physical bodies, has nothing to do with anybody in this room or anybody listening to this on a CD or a tape or anybody listening to this on the radio or anybody watching this on television who knows Jesus Christ today as your personal Savior. This has nothing to do with you. You see, you got saved over here before all this started. And therefore, when the Lord comes back at the first R, at the rapture, you are taken to heaven and you get your glorified body then. Okay? You get your glorified body when the rapture takes place. You get to go to heaven. And when the return comes, you come with Him. Why? To rule and to reign with Him. So when you read in Isaiah 11 and Isaiah 35 that the world is going to be changed, the animal kingdom and nature is going to be changed, and you read about how the earth is going to be changed, that the desert will bloom like a rose, and that there'll be no more desert, and there'll be no more Arctic, and God's going to make the whole earth like the Garden of Eden again. I mean, it's going to be paradise on earth. And you read about how during the millennium there'll be no more blindness and there'll be no more sickness and there'll be no more death and all of it. God, Jesus is just going to just fix it all. You say, well, who are these people that He's going to heal? Watch, folks, it has to be. Now, it's not us. We got raptured over here. So it has to be that during this tribulation period, and don't forget, there are over 6 billion people on this planet right now, today. And it has to be that there will be survivors of the tribulation period, and they will enter into the tribulation or into the millennial reign of Christ. And they are today sinners, unsaved. So when the rapture happens, they stay here. And somehow or another, they survive all the wrath and terror and judgment of the tribulation period, and they enter into the millennial reign of Christ. Now, here's the thing. God said, Jesus said, that when they come into that millennium, they're not going to get sick and die. They're not going to die of physical problems. He said, if you're deaf, you're going to be able to hear. If you're blind, you're going to be able to see. If you're crippled, you're going to be able to walk. If you got a problem, I'm going to fix it for you. And so here is Jesus sitting upon the throne. Here's all of us ruling and reigning with Him. And it is ideal conditions. The world, you won't need BG&E anymore. Hallelujah. You won't need health care anymore. All right? You won't need the insurance companies anymore. I mean, the Lord is going to just fix everything. Now, folks, you can sit and listen and believe all this nonsense if you want to believe it, but I'm telling you, there is not a political party on the planet that can fix what's wrong with our nation today. And when you hear them promise they're going to do this and going to do that, just laugh. My friends, listen, it won't be fixed until the Prince of Peace comes and fixes it all. All right? Now, one other thing that you need to understand. So here's all these people coming into the end of the millennium. We enter in with our glorified bodies. You say, well, what are we going to do? We rule and reign with Him. The Apostle Paul said that we rule with Christ. We reign with Christ during the millennium. Now think about it, folks. Just put your thinking caps on. Yes, there's a lot of questions. And yes, the Lord answers a lot of them in the Bible, but some He doesn't. And I'm not sure that I understand exactly how it's going to work because, to be honest with you, my mind's limited just like yours. But let me tell you something. When we enter into that millennium, there's going to be, it's described as a millennial kingdom, and it said we rule and reign with Him. Now, just put your thinking caps on. If that's so, if the Lord has a kingdom, and the Lord is the king of that kingdom, a kingdom has to have subjects, does it not? If you're going to rule over somebody, you have to have somebody to rule over. And who will we rule and reign over? It has to be those that come through the tribulation period. Now, there will be a relatively small number, I personally think. There'll be a small number that will survive that tribulation. But now, wait a minute. If we're talking about 1,000 years. And if in 1,000 years there's no death, except for those that are judged by God, I'll show you in a minute. If in that 1,000 years everybody, the world is just idyllic. I mean, if in that 1,000 years men continue to reproduce and the earth populates and fills up, which it will, because we're told at the end of the millennium, that the devil is turned loose and he goes and gets a number that no man can number to come against the holy mountain and try to defeat God. All right? So the point is that the whole world is going to live, sinners are going to live for 1,000 years in ideal conditions. But yet at the end of it, sinners will do what sinners do. They will choose the wrong thing and they will follow the devil against God. That grieves my soul, doesn't it, you? It grieves my soul today because people do that. I mean, here we are in the day of grace. Here we are in the church age and we're trying to win folks to Christ. And thank God, some folks, when you talk to them about the Lord, they say yes and they receive the Lord. And it's wonderful. But I spoke with a man Friday in a hotel lobby. And waiting on Hamlin to come. He's worse than oh my soul. He's like a girl. Primping. I said, get down here, let's go. You're bald. Get down here. You don't have to stand there and comb your one hair for 4 hours. Get down here. So I'm standing there waiting on him and struck up a conversation, tried to witness to this guy. And he just looked me dead in the eye and he said, I'm not interested. I said, well, let me give you a tract to read. And he said, really, I don't even want to read that. Now, there are some people that you can witness to them and they say, yeah, tell me about this and they'll get saved. There are some people that just say no. And folks, listen, these sinners that come through the tribulation and enter into the millennium, they're humans. They are humans. And they have a free will. And they will have to decide. And the point of the matter is, here are idyllic conditions. And nobody doubts that Jesus is the one that brought these conditions. Nobody. Nobody's doubting that. But yet at the end, there will be people who will make the wrong decision. Man, if you haven't decided for Jesus yet, you need to decide for Him now. You need to decide for Him now. All right? Let me show you one other thing before I let you go. Turn over, please, to Isaiah 65. Go over to the 65th chapter. Show you one more thing that was said about the millennium. Isaiah 65. Look, please, at verse 17. Isaiah 65. All right, the world is going to be changed. The animal kingdom is going to be changed. The earth is going to be changed. Man is going to be changed. Men will live. Look at this. It's further help you. Look at verse 17. He said, "For behold, I create new heavens and a new earth, and the former shall not be remembered nor come into mind. Be ye glad and rejoice forever in that which I create. For behold, I create Jerusalem a rejoicing and her people a joy. And I will rejoice in Jerusalem and joy in my people. And the voice of weeping shall be no more heard in her, nor the voice of crying. There shall be no more thence." Listen carefully to this now. "There shall be no more thence an infant of days, nor an old man that hath not filled his days. For the child shall die 100 years old, but the sinner being 100 years old shall be accursed." Now, folks, I'm going to be honest with you. That 20th verse is heavy stuff. That is heavy duty stuff. What does that mean? What is God saying here? What is the Lord telling us about the millennium and the characteristics of the millennium? I think that what God is saying here, listen carefully now, is that the lifespan for those who enter into the millennium and for those who will be born during the millennium will be drastically lengthened. I think that it is saying a person will be viewed as a child when he or she is 100 years old. Verse 20 says that there will not be an old man that hath not filled his days. What's that mean? That means that everybody's you just live for the 1,000 years. It means that when a person is 100, he is not considered an old person. He is considered yet a young person. Can I remind you, folks, that back before the flood, from Adam to the flood, that men lived almost 1,000 years? Can I remind you of that? And so during the millennium, it's going to be the same thing. God's going to take us, Jesus is going to take us back to the way it was, and men will live for the 1,000 years. A guy will be 100 years old, and he'll be seen like he's a teenager. He won't be viewed at 100 like he's an old man. I think that's what this is saying. But now look at the last part of that 20th verse. It says, "But the sinner, being 100 years old, shall be accursed." The sinner shall be accursed. What does that mean? Now listen carefully, folks. Christ, who rules and reigns, and all of us who rule and reign with Him, we will not just be sitting around during the millennium being fanned with palm branches, eating grapes and drinking lemonade. We rule and we reign with Him. That means that we're going to be watching. We're going to be working. We're going to be overseeing the subjects of the kingdom. And as long as the subjects toe the line, all is well. But while we are ruling, if somebody gets out of line and rebels, God says here, they are accursed. In other words, God will judge and death will come to them. There's not going to be this shame on you stuff. There's not going to be this, well, we're going to put you in jail and no, not going to have that. You get out of line, God kills you. You get out of line, God kills you. All right, so here we are. Let's say I'm a chief judge of Westminster. Well, that just made a lot of people nervous right there. I'm chief judge of Westminster. And every morning I get a call from Jerusalem that says, "How's everything going over there?" and I say to the Lord, well, Lord, you know, we had a good night, but I found out this morning that so and so broke into the mall and went down and into the jewelry store and robbed the jewelry store, and I just found out about that just now. And God says, okay, then judgment. Now turn, hold your place here. Go back to the Psalms. Go back to the book of the Psalms and look at Psalm 101. Let me give you a verse. Psalm 101. Look, please, at verse 8. Psalm 101 and verse 8. God says, I will, what's the next word? Early destroy all the wicked of the land, that I may cut off all wicked doers from the city of our Lord. The rabbis don't know what to do with this verse. They don't know where it fits. The only explanation for it, because God has never done this. God has never done this. There has never been a time from today all the way back. There's never been a time when God did what this verse says. That early in life or early in the morning, it could be taken either way. There's never been a time when God came down upon the earth and walked across the earth, and if he saw a rebellious person, just killed him. There's never been a time. And so the rabbis think, and I think, that this is millennial in its scope. And that during the millennium, Christ on the throne in Jerusalem, those of us who were saved are ruling and reigning with him. Multitudes of people come out of the tribulation. Multitudes are born, and they are human beings. They are sinners, and they are under the authority of the Son of God. They are being governed. They are being ruled and reigned over. And all around the world, if somebody rebels, God says, we're not putting up with it. We're not going to have your rebellion infect everybody else. You know, peer pressure is one of the biggest tools the devil uses to get teenagers and to get young adults. It's one of the greatest weapons. And God says, you get out of line, you're dead. We're not having rebellion. Now, wait a minute, folks. At the end of the millennium, in 3 short months, in a season, the devil goes out and influences a multitude. And God's point is that during the time when Jesus is on the earth, you want to see ideal situation? You want to see the picture-perfect world? Here it is, Jesus on the throne and the saints of God ruling and reigning with him. And therefore, if you get out of line, bang, you're done. You're done. We're not putting up with it. Isn't that something? Isn't that something? You see, we have a hard time fathoming that. We have a hard time understanding that because we live in a world where there is no justice. We live in a world where you can have a trial and do appeal after appeal after appeal after appeal, and years and years and years can go by before justice is served. It's not going to be so during the millennium. Not when the sovereign Son of the eternal God, who has given us a book and told us this is the way, walk ye in it. Boy, we are far from that, are we not? We are far from that. But it will be so during the millennial reign. All right? Now, one more thing and I close. Go back over to Revelation 20. Go back over to Revelation 20 for just a minute. Last book of the Bible, 20th chapter. This is where John sees the millennium, and I want you to notice what he sees. In verse 11, he said, "And I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened." That's the Bible, 66 books of the Bible. "And the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead that were which were in them. And they were judged, every man according to their works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire, and this is the second death." First death is physical. Second death is spiritual. It says, "And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire." Now, folks, here's the point. Watch. At the end of the millennium, there will be this great white throne, and God will sit on that throne. And God will sit on that throne. Are you listening to me? And every person that has ever lived on this planet or ever will live on this planet is going to have to answer to that God. You're either, look at me, folks, look here. Get this in your head. You're either saved or you're lost. Now, there is not a gray area somewhere. There is not an area for the unconcerned. There is not an area over here for the religious. There is not an area over here for concerned people. You're either saved or you're lost. "And whosoever was not found written in the Lamb's Book of Life was cast into the lake of fire." When you stand before God, you have to stand before Him as a saved person. Because if you don't, listen, right here, this great white throne, what's after the rain? What's after the rain? Remember, rapture, ruin, return, rain, what? Restoration. New heaven, new earth, eternity. And what you are right here is how you're going to enter into eternity. You with me? What you are, if you're saved right here, you're standing as a witness to this great white throne judgment. If you're saved, you're standing over here as a witness. If you're not saved, you're standing as being judged. And what you've done with Jesus is what determines where you spend eternity. Now look at this. Flip the page and I'm done. I promise you. Flip the page. Look at chapter 22. Look at chapter 22. Look at verse 10. He said, "He saith unto me, seal not the sayings of the prophecy of this book, for the time is at hand." In other words, preach it, tell it, explain it, let people know, hey, judgment's coming. Hey, God is going to make us stand before Him one of these days. Don't seal it up. Preach it. Listen. Verse 11, I'm sorry. "He that is unjust, let him be unjust still. And he which is filthy, let him be filthy still. And he that is righteous, let him be righteous still. And he that is holy, let him be holy still." You say, "Well, what's that mean?" Here's what it means. Watch. Right here at the end, we are one step from eternity. And what you are right here is what you will be for all eternity. And if you stand before God at this great white throne, unsaved, with your filthy, wicked heart, with your rebellion in your heart, I've had people look at me and say, I ain't going to have no God tell me what to do. Okay? One of these days you will. One of these days you will. And by the way, folks, when that day comes and you're standing before Him, you're not going to be able to say, excuse me, and have God say, yes. I changed my mind. He that is unjust will stay throughout eternity unjust. He that is filthy will stay throughout eternity filthy. Can you imagine living eternally craving the sin that kept you from coming to Christ? Multiplied by 10,000 times 10,000 for all eternity. Pile on top of that the fires of hell. Pile on top of that the stench. Pile on top of that the cries of the damned. Pour on top of that eternity. I tell you, it's a no-brainer for me. You know? It's a no-brainer for me. I believe I'm just going to put my faith in the Lord. And finally, there will be peace. There will be peace. Do you know Him this morning? Have you trusted in the Prince of Peace for peace for your soul? If you don't know Him, dear friend, you need the Lord Jesus Christ this morning. Bow your heads with me, please. Our heads bowed, our eyes closed, no one looking around. Let me ask you a couple of personal questions this morning. Let me ask you, how many of you here today will say, Pastor, I'm saved. I know I'm saved. There is absolutely no doubt about it. If I died right now, I'm going to heaven. I know that my faith is in Christ. I'm saved. Raise your hand and testify. Preacher, I'm saved. I know it. There's no doubt about it. If I died right now, I'm going to heaven. I know in whom I have believed. I know that I'm a child of God. Amen. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Now our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed. Dear friend, listen to me. God loves you this morning. God loves you this morning. He loves you so much. He sent His Son to die for you. And if you're here today and you could not raise your hand and say you know you're saved, I'd like for you to raise it right now and say, Pastor, I don't know for sure that I'm saved, but I know I need to be saved. Pray for me. I need the Lord. Would you raise your hand and let me pray for you? I'll not embarrass you, I promise, but I will pray for you and ask God to speak to your heart. Pastor, I'm not sure I'm saved. I don't know if I died today that I'd go to heaven, but I'm concerned about my soul. Pray for me. Anybody like that this morning? Just lift your hand and hold it up for just a moment. Let me pray for you. Anybody like that? All right, let me ask this. How many of you Christians here today will say, Pastor, I'm saved, but I'm not living for God like I should, and God's touched my heart this morning. Man, I need to start living for Jesus. Pastor, pray for me. Would you slip your hand up, dear friend? Let me pray for you. Yes, yes. God bless you. God bless you. Many, many hands. God bless you. All right, now with our heads bowed and our eyes closed, let's stand to our feet, please, and we'll pray. Our Father, we thank You so much that we have the privilege to come to You with our burdens and our needs and our prayer requests. And Lord, You know our hearts this morning. What a great need is before us this morning. Lord, we need to realize that this program that You have for the future, beginning with the rapture and ending up with eternity, is on the threshold of happening. Lord, there's nothing that prevents Your Son from coming back to this earth. So Lord, help us to live for Christ. Father, would You speak to our hearts today? Would You give us a burdened heart for righteous living and for serving the Lord and being faithful in these last and final days? Lord, just bless us richly, we ask now. And may this altar be filled as Christians are pouring out their hearts to You. And Lord, we'll thank You and praise You for what You do. In Jesus' name, amen.